This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. She worked here covering the Cavaliers. Now she's working with ESPN. She's the former scrappy point guard for Florida State University.
Scrappy.
And she was working the sidelines. Game one, Cavs against the Magic. She's Angel Gray. Hi, Angel.
Hi, Angel.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
We are good. Well. How about you?
Doing great.
You still in town?
I am not. We didn't have the luxury of having the game on Monday. NBA TV has that one, but I will tell you, it was an electric just environment just to be a part of game one and see what playoff basketball is like in Cleveland was absolutely overwhelming and exciting.
It was a little bit more fun to watch the Cavalier playoff basketball this year compared to last year against the Knicks. So you tell me, what did they learn? What now can you see that they learned against the Knicks they were able to carry out against the Magic a year later?
I think the thing that everyone would lead with that has been echoed throughout the locker room as well as the coaching staff is just the understanding of the physicality you have to play with, but also the maturation that you have to have in order to welcome that physicality and also not let it throw you out of your rhythm. And I thought that they did a great job with that throughout the ball game. They really threw the punch first, the first punch. And I thought that was just indicative on how they were able to get into a rhythm on the offensive end, also get stops. They were 5 for 5 from the three-point line to start the game. And that was something that Coach Mosley for Orlando was really just trying to limit them throughout the ball game, knowing that the Cavs are just one of the teams that are known to do that and do it very well throughout the regular season. But just to see their rhythm, just to see their connectedness on the offensive end, even in the lulls of scoring, because I know, you know, with the hot start from the three-point line, then it got everybody else going. And I remember asking Donovan after the game, what a luxury it is to go cold from the three-point line and have two, you know, front court players in Evan Mobley and Jared Allen that can come up with double-doubles and impact in different ways to get things going. So I just think they understood what it took to get the job done through a physical and a mental aspect of playoff basketball.
Angel, we loved the mix offensively for this team with Donovan being the lead guy with 30 points, and then the double-doubles from Evan and Jarrett, 16 points each. And Darius, in this game, playing a not-as-high-scoring role but having 8 assists. Did you like that look from this team? And as a person who played high-level college basketball, can Darius Garland look and think, okay, this worked out great. No problems for me in this game being a guy who gets 8 assists and only 14 points.
I tell you what, you asked me if I like it. Yes, sure, I like it. But I think J.B. Bickerstaff loves it as well as the team because he was on a triple-double alert for a good portion of the second half. And just realizing what he was doing, getting into a flow, how they were working off of one another with him and Donovan Mitchell. And I think, too, you see how – they have to find their own pace within the game. I thought they did it a remarkable job with, you know, feeding everybody else. And that's what your job is, you know, from, you know, a floor general's point of view. But going back to Coach Bickerstaff's post-game presser, he said that type of assertiveness and aggressiveness from Darius Garland is what we need. It may not be a 30-point game, but how he gets everybody else into their spots is what makes everything else flow. And so, I mean, you can have a train, but without the conductor, what does it look like? So I really feel like he did a great job of playing his role. I think the luxury of the Cavs in their offense right now is that that could be, you know, a free-flowing, position with him and Donovan Mitchell. And I think that's a big piece of it. Going back to that first question, too, just about what's different about their flow, too, in their balance, is the new additions. That's what everyone has been talking about, just how they've been able to step in. I think George Niang had some incredible minutes for them in game one, and I think that's what it comes down to, the X-factor minutes. Coach Bickerstaff said Caris LeVert was also one of the biggest X-factors for them off of the bench. So, yes, it comes down to Darius Garland and how he feeds others, but how they can complete the play with other people around them makes them a very dangerous team.
Angel, what does Jamal Mosley do tonight after watching his first game? I think if I'm him, I'm saying to my guys, hey, it's one game. No one expected us to win this first game. Don't lose your cool. Let's see what happens here. But how can they adjust to get back at the Cavs tonight?
I think just realizing that game one, you can take some good things out of it, but most importantly, it's hit a bucket. I think for their backcourt, they were 14 for 37, I believe, around that number. That's not a number that you want from your guards getting things set up. I know that Paolo Banchero and Wagner were efficient from the floor in double figures, but that just can't happen. They shot in 20% from the three-point line. That can't happen. I think even their, you know, performance from the free throw line, shooting 21%, is not something that he's excited about. 19, I think, from that area. So just for free throws, you have to be able to step up and do those little things for your team in order to win. So I think for Coach Mosley, the thing that stood out to him that was good was you were able to hold a very potent offense in the Cavs under 100 points. That was one of their goals. However, they wanted to make sure that they were limiting their turnovers. That was something that they did not do, especially to start the game, as well as winning on the glass, and they got out-rebounded by 14. So those are things that they can control. I think Evan Mobley and Jared Allen were just very dominant in the ways that they were active in the paint. So they're going to have to figure out what that's going to look like. I think with Jonathan Isaacs, that was, one of very few starts for him in this season. So I think that he'll play around with the starting lineup a little bit, or just find different ways to throw them off defensively. But I think that he did check the box with just really disrupting them from the three-point line after that hot start from the Cavs in the first quarter.
Angel, was it more Orlando shooting in your estimation, or was it more Cavs defense, or a nice combination?
I think it was a nice combination. I think that when you're looking at the experience in these big games, that was one of the questions that I had to follow by Caro to start the game. This is a young team with very limited experience in playoffs and a team that was not trending in the right direction with away games. They were 1-4 on the road to close out the season. So for them, understanding in an environment that many are not used to and trying to figure out how to win on the road in the playoffs, I think that was something that they got a good taste. They got a good test of what that's going to look like. So I think that they just need to settle down. Every time I saw coach in the huddles or saw the team, they didn't look rattled, but they didn't look in rhythm. And that was my biggest concern. So how can they get to a spot where they can find easier buckets, get to their spots a little easier, know what their bread and butter is in order to say we can get out of this drought? We saw a little bit of that in that third quarter stretch where they brought it within 5 points, but they could not make a bucket in four consecutive possessions. So I think for them, just settling in, I think the Cavs did a remarkable job with finding ways to disrupt them on the defensive end. But I think it could be a little bit more of a balanced shooting effort from both sides, honestly, in game two.
Angel Gray joining us. She was working the sidelines game one, Cavaliers against the Orlando Magic over at the Fieldhouse. The Magic, I think, Angel, are a really interesting young team. And I don't know if this is their time or not. Do you think they have enough when it comes to talent to make up for their lack of experience and have a chance to win this series?
I think anyone has a chance. You know, I always look at this as like a 7-game series. It's all about the matchup and what it looks like head to head. With them splitting in the regular season, they found something that worked for them in those matchups. But I do think in this particular mode, they're going to need more from their backcourt. They're going to need more from Paolo Banchero. I know that one of the games, even in the loss where he had 42 points against the Cavs, they're going to need him to have one of those type of, you know, monster games. And he's going to need help as well you know, with Wagner, with Franz Wagner. So I think it's really important for them to understand how to get their big pieces going, and other people have to be able to step up too. I think Jalen Suggs was a big piece of their comeback in the second half. He did things on both ends of the floor. Can we get that effort times 10 from him again and other pieces? Jonathan Isaac has to be one of those players in the paint that for the Cavs, they're second guessing if they want to attack him. And right now, I think the front court for the Cavs are just really taking advantage of their experience in the paint. So can they match that? I'm not sure, but we will see what type of, you know, tricks Coach Mosley has up his sleeve, but he is an incredible coach. He has brought them, you know, in a season where a lot of people did not have them on their radar, and they're, you know, five for a reason. So I'm looking forward to seeing the different schemes that we see from both sides.
Angel, knowing and looking that all the home teams won in the first game of the opening round, I was just curious your thought on that, and then obviously the crowd at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse and what a difference they can make in a game. You've seen enough games there to understand it and understand the energy level. So can you kind of just give me a feel for that and what that home court advantage really means? Because I think a lot of times in the NBA, home court advantage can be taken out the window, but it didn't seem to be that way for the first game of everybody's series.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I need a stat pull from you guys if you can. How many of those home games actually had people, arenas that had fire torches blowing from the Jumbotron? Because if that's the case, I think that gets any team going.
It's all really eight. Can you believe that? All eight had fire. That's unbelievable. They're all copycats.
I think that's a good place to start, honestly. But I think, too, they don't say six man for no reason. That place was rocking out of control, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Oh, and, you know, Cleveland. You know, Cleveland Rocks. There's a lot of puns in there. But nice. I think it was very interesting to see how they were fueled off of that. Donovan Mitchell on some key plays, very big buckets in the second half, would turn to the crowd, and you could just feel the chills going throughout the arena. It was absolutely electric, and that's when, you know, you force a team to call timeouts just because of the crowd getting into it as well. So that's some things where, you know, Orlando has to find ways to limit the crowd interaction, finding ways to limit those opportunities. I think they tried their opportunity in the third quarter when they brought it within five. And I think there were some moments when they didn't hit as many big threes in the first half, but that has to be consistent. When you're at home, there's just something completely different. You know where every spot on the floor is for you. You know where nothing is out of rhythm from the time you wake up, from the time you go into the arena and, you know, the ball is tossed. So I think Orlando and any other team that's starting off on the road has to figure out how they can, you know, turn that table in a sense.
You did game one, Cavs Magic. What's next for you? What's on the schedule?
Not sure. Hopefully sleep, but I'm on standby.
Outstanding. Well, we look forward to seeing you back in town. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again for being with us.
Thanks, Angel.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Angel Gray, ESPN, working those sidelines. Cavs game one against the Orlando Magic.
Big time. ESPN.
She's terrific. Absolute peach. All right. What are your thoughts tonight, folks? How can they do it? Will they do it? I think the Magic will be better. I think the Cavs are going to have to be better tonight, too. I really do.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.